The word of God that guides us is from Jeremiah chapter 23. We examine it under the theme, Rejoice, you have a shepherd king. My dear friends, a few years ago, Dr. Paul Robbie, then a professor of Old Testament exegetical theology at Concordia Seminary in St. Louis, was participating in an important archaeological dig in northeast Syria. Each day, as his team worked on the excavation, a flock of sheep would pass by their site. Dr. Robbie noticed that each sheep would pass by and then would wander off in its own direction. Yes, the sheep would wander off until the shepherd came along and called them and gathered them together. Well, my friends, that's the way you and I and all people are as well. We, like sheep, are prone to wandering. Ever since our spiritual parents, Adam and Eve, turned their backs on God in the Garden of Eden and plunged our world into sin, we have been prone to straying from God, from wandering away from His holy word, His holy will, and His holy way. Isaiah spoke well when he said, all we like sheep have gone astray. We have turned everyone to his own way. Well, in our text this morning, the people of the southern kingdom of Israel, often called the people of Judah, have wandered off from the Lord their God. They have stopped worshiping the one true God. They have forsaken the covenant of the Lord and worshiped other gods and served them. Yes, they are guilty of the sin of idolatry. What's more, they have indulged the desires of their sinful flesh, and they have fallen into all kinds of immorality and wickedness. And God? Well, God was not happy. It's important to understand here that when God expresses his anger, it's particularly focused today on the kings of Israel. God is not happy that these leaders have failed to faithfully carry out the responsibilities he has graciously entrusted to them. Yes, he's given these leaders a vocation, a job, a responsibility to guide and shepherd the sheep of Israel. They have fallen short. Yes, in particular, God says, I told you to do justice and righteousness, and to deliver from the hand of the oppressor, the resident alien, the fatherless, and the widow. See, God is especially angry that the kings of Israel, the spiritual leaders of Israel, have failed to protect the most vulnerable in the society, the fatherless and the widow. God is very angry because, see, these leaders, rather than pay attention to the sheep, have sought to take care of their own selfish needs and wants. Yes, rather than shepherding the flock, they've fleeced the flock in order to satisfy their own covetous and sinful desires. You see, it's been all about me and my wants and my needs for these kings and spiritual leaders of Judah. They have been involved in dishonest gain, fleecing the flock, shedding innocent blood, and practicing oppression and violence. You can read about that in Jeremiah chapter 22. So God is angry. Angry for their selfishness. Angry for their failure to carry out the responsibility he gave to them to care for God's people, especially the most vulnerable of society. God says, "You have scattered my flock, and you have driven them away. Behold, you have failed to attend to them. And behold, I will attend to you for your evil deeds, declares the Lord." In a real sense, God's saying, "Vengeance is mine, thus saith the Lord." Ouch! God's patience has clearly run out. He's ready to punish these spiritual leaders for failing to carry out their leadership responsibilities, for failing to fulfill the vocation that he gave to them, for failing to take care of the sheep that he had entrusted to their care. The sheep of Israel, the children of Israel. Now you might think, "Well, Pastor Schwartz, that's interesting, but what does it have to do with me?" Well, my friends, all of us have a vocation in one way or another. God has called, for instance, a man, perhaps to be a husband, a father, an employee, or maybe an employer, or a coach, or other responsibilities, other hats that he might wear. And God's given that to all of us. We all have been called into some vocation, some way in which we are to serve God in his kingdom. We've been given responsibilities, not just for ourselves, but to serve God by serving others. Now, I don't know what hats you wear, but we all wear hats, don't we? And God's question to you today is, as you wear your hat, as you carry out the responsibilities that I have graciously given to you, as you care for some that I have entrusted to you, how are you doing? God says, parents, are you faithfully training up a child in the way that they should go, that when they're old, they will not depart from it? Or are you allowing sports and recreational activities to crowd out the things of God from their lives? He says, hey, spouses, I'd like to talk to you for a minute. Are you nurturing your marriage? Remember, spouses, your marriage, your relationship with your spouse is the primary horizontal relationship you have. You know, you're like Adam and Eve. God says, so your spouse is your gift from me. Are you loving them? Are you respecting them? Are you nurturing them? Are you showing compassion and kindness and gentleness to your spouse? Or are you paying more attention to your career than to your relationship? Paying more attention to your hobbies or other activities than to that sacred marriage that God has given to you? Christians, God has given each of you gifts. Yes, gifts of time, talents, and treasures that he wants you to use to serve him as you serve your neighbor. So how are you doing when it comes to managing God's gifts of time, talents, and treasures? You know, in Romans 12, God says, if your gift is service, then serve. If your gift is exhortation, then exhort. If your gift is contributing, then do it generously. If your gift is leading, then do it with zeal. If your gift is acts of mercy, doing acts of mercy, then do it with cheerfulness. We've all been given gifts. Time, talents, treasures. Are we just using them for ourselves? Are we using them to serve God by serving our neighbor, particularly our neighbors within the Christian church? Are we using them to serve our neighbors within the body of Christ? When someone within our body of Christ is ill, are we helping out? Are we praying for them? When they have struggles, are we coming to their side and saying, how can I assist you? Our text today, my friends, is one of those texts in which we wiggle in the pew because it makes us a little uncomfortable. Because, you see, today is a wake-up call. God is asking us to look in the mirror and examine our lives, examine our hearts. How are we doing when it comes to carrying out the vocations? How are we doing when it comes to wearing those hats that God has given us? All too often, what we see is where we've fallen short, right? Where we've fallen short as a husband. Where we've fallen short as a wife. Where we've fallen short in using our time, talents, and treasures to serve our Lord. We've fallen short as a student or as a teacher, as an employer or as an employee. Well, guess what? When we come to God and we cry out, God, I've fallen short. I've fallen into sin and can't get up. God, be merciful to me, sinner, sinner that I am. God's word to us is this. I love you. I love you unconditionally. I have sent my only son to die on that cross for all your sins. I have sent my son to receive the punishment you rightly deserve. And I give you that forgiveness one-on-one so you can be certain that the forgiveness is for you. When you come to the Lord's table, Jesus says, I'll meet you there. I'll give you my body and my blood, in with and under the bread and wine, for the forgiveness of all your sins. How can we be so certain of that? Well, because of what Jeremiah said. He said, behold, the days are coming when I will raise up for David a righteous branch. He shall reign as king and deal with us wisely and shall execute justice and righteousness. In his days, Judah will be saved and Israel will dwell securely, and his name will be called the Lord our righteousness. Who's the righteous branch? Jesus. Jesus, the one who lived a perfect life. The one who received the punishment you and I deserve. The one who shed his blood for the forgiveness of your sins. The one who shed his blood to forgive you for your shortcomings as a husband, your shortcomings as a wife, your shortcomings in terms of your management of God's blessings of time and talents and treasures. That's right. You have forgiveness in the Shepherd King. Yeah, the one, the good shepherd, Jesus, who laid down his life for you. The good shepherd who took his life back up for you and now leads you that you might live a different life. A life in which you, rather than satisfying your selfish desires like the kings of the southern kingdom of Israel, now you live for Christ. And you serve Christ by serving your neighbor. Yes, we're forgiven in the blood of Jesus, and he blesses us with his Holy Spirit. This living a new and different life as a husband and a wife and as a child of God, it's not something we've got to do by pulling ourselves up by the bootstraps. We have the Holy Spirit who works in word and sacraments, and that's why we gather together here regularly. That Christ can come to us and forgive us one-on-one. And that he might strengthen us to go out each day and share Christ's love with our wife, share Christ's love with our husband, share Christ's love with our children and our neighbor, and even the guy in the cubicle at work gets on our nerves. You're thinking of it, aren't you? My friends, we have the Holy Spirit. We're the blood-bought children of God who have a shepherd king who gifts us with his Spirit that we can carry out our vocations joyfully. We can wear our hats joyfully, including the hat or the call to proclaim the excellencies of him who called us out of darkness into his marvelous light. Yes, the Holy Spirit even helps us share Christ with our friends and our neighbors, those who are wandering lost in the darkness of sin and unbelief. The Spirit enables us to share Jesus with them. We have reason to leave here with joy today. We have a shepherd king, a shepherd who forgives our sins, a shepherd who is our king, who walks before us and rules our lives now, calls the shot in our lives. His Holy Spirit empowers us, living in our hearts, to say no to sin and yes to glorifying Jesus to the very end. When Jesus comes for us and says, come with me, I'm going to take you home to heaven where there's no more suffering, death, or pain, but only joy in the presence of your shepherd king. May that bring you peace, hope, and joy this day and always. Amen. And now may